jobs. About 30 million of them had to return home. And I'm telling you, you know this, if their people aren't employed and there's a societal unrest, they will go to war, and Taiwan is on the table. So this is a perfect storm. And it's and forget about the stock market and the new all-time highs. We're only 5% above the new the highs we put in October and January of this year. Stock market's essentially gone nowhere. It's gotten even more narrow. 45% of the market cap of the S&P 500 is AI. That's the only thing that's growing in this economy. That's what's holding up the GDP. And we know how this ends.
How long can the AI bubble go?
It could go for a couple more months, or it could end this week. Next week is a very important week, in my humble opinion. There's two things going on. The April CPI comes out on May 12th, and that's going to be very telling. We have a 4.1% estimate, which is well above consensus. We think we're right. Consensus is 3.5. That'll cause the bond markets to freak out temporarily. The stock market might take a hit. But more importantly, Kevin Warsh, the new Fed chair, is coming in on the 15th. And traditionally, when there's a switchover from Fed chair to Fed chair, the stock market, for some reason, gets whacked. So we have a perfect storm setting up here. New Fed chair, he's going to get baptism by fire, 2 days after he's anointed, because the CPI report, if we're right, if our 4.1% estimate's right, people are going to freak out. But that's temporary. Deflation will be what comes next. So it's an inflation stagflation roller coaster. And on the other side of this is demand destruction and recession and midterms and you name it. It's going to get crazy.
So for people that don't understand, explain to them slowly. This is a key thing, and I explain this to even people that have PhDs. They don't get it when it's in mainline history of war. Why do empires and powerful governments or countries, when they have domestic rebellions, when the bubble's coming to an end, when they have a famine, why do they attack somebody? Why do they attack a neighbor? I mean, I know, I'll give my answer. It's very obvious. It mobilizes people. They stop fighting internally. They unify behind the government against the outside enemy. It allows them to control resources more. And divert attention away, and it consolidates again more power. And then if the country is successful conquering the outside nation, it's able to absorb its resources, and it's a confidence game for other countries that then shores up confidence, and they can usually bring in a new currency or a new reset. But this is what always happens. But it seems like the public in general, even in educated people, don't understand this, that this is a not just a cycle, it's pretty much a fact.
Yeah, this is central banking war cycle 101. You get to the end of a long cycle, and you can't float the debt. You can't keep your population happy and fed, so you go to war because you can't blame yourself.
The guy gets a loan from the mafia. They ship all the money through it for years. Don't pay the bills. Declare bankruptcy and then burn it down.
Correct. It's right out of the scene from Goodfellas. That's a great analogy. I love it. That's where we are. We're at the Goodfellas stage.
So what do we do? Do you think Trump could listen? Because I know some of this gets through to him, but then he goes right back to listen to Mark Levin, which they're not even thinking about the global economy. Israel's really thinking about its own narrow, Likudnik view. These people are idiots. Then they call us Iranian agents because we understand the economy?
You know, look, the devastation that's going to come from the humanitarian perspective just doesn't justify us, debating Israel and this and that. I mean, Israel is a tiny country. Sure, they're an ally, but should we be doing going to war with Iran that's going to cause this much global pain, which was already coming anyways? It's just an accelerant. This is just an accelerant. I'm beside myself watching this go on and watching the Trump administration falter. And, some of his people gaslight us. I mean, they're gaslighting us on the non-farm payroll numbers today, how great the numbers are. They keep pointing to the stock market. The stock market is going to turn on them so hard and so fast, it's going to make their heads
spin. Well, just briefly in closing, what about the UFO thing? I predicted, just like the Epstein thing, they would give us a bunch of old recycled crap, and they did. I mean,
the UFO thing is a distraction, and you were right. They gave us crap. But if this is going to be a story that keeps going and they release more and more and more, what I'm watching is the narrative and the framing of the narrative. Whatever the framing of the narrative is, is designed to lead the public to an outcome.
And they're saying this will end Christianity and God isn't real. They have all these known preachers on the government payroll. So what is the PSYOP to say your faith will be shaken? Or what are you seeing from the narrative?
Well, let's say it's they seem to be going with interdimensional beings, mm-hmm. As opposed to otherworldly planetary intelligence. Let's say it is let's say it's interdimensional beings. The Bible calls them demons and angels. Okay, and so you're going to tell me that angels have been talking to government officials? No, angels don't talk to government officials. Demons talk to government officials.
Right.
So this shouldn't shake anyone's faith. If they're going to go with interdimensional beings,
I was about to say this strengthens my faith. That's exactly what the Bible explains.
Exactly.
The Bible says demons are in control of the high powers of the government and literally advise and control the people for Satan.
Now, to your point, I heard you. I was watching your show earlier, and you're talking about these alien human hybrids. That's going to be nonsense. That we know that's a psyop. You're probably right. It's animal human hybrids, and they'll try it out as aliens. I'm going to watch what the framing of the narrative is, and where they want to lead the public. And we know that's the wrong answer. You know, one other thing I want to bring up that I think is interesting. Has anyone noticed on the topic of the Iran war? I searched Elon's Twitter feed. He has not commented once pro or con on the war.
I noticed that. He's been completely neutral. What's that mean?
Well, here's my speculation. And both could be right, one or the other. But first, he could be worried about SpaceX IPO. He doesn't want to catch the ire of Trump. So he's just, being coy. And wants to just get his IPO out, without Trump threatening him or showing any kind of disloyalty. The other thing is, what I noticed is there's a new algorithm on X that's really suppressed everybody's views, and we're kind of talking to an echo chamber. No one understands why things go viral anymore. What if the administration basically came to the social media companies, including Elon, and said, "Hey, we're going to war. There's going to be a lot of propaganda. And we want you guys to understand that we're not declaring War Powers Act, but it's a soft War Powers Act, and you guys have to do what we say."
No, absolutely, and we know that's in law. And that's what I noticed, and that's why I thought he's neutral, is he wants to stay out of it, not have his algorithm crushed, so he exempts himself from it. As soon as I started criticizing the war, it was like a giant wet blanket was thrown on me, which I continue to go on and do it. But 100%, the minute, and I noticed the people that are my friends, I know they are, they get talking points for the White House. I was invited into it. I didn't do it. As soon they just take the press release, and now they're bigger than ever. But I don't want to be a big puppet. So yeah, and when I think President Trump's wrong, if I thought the war was right, I'd get all behind it. But I saw it would be a failure. But absolutely, I mean, I don't think that's your opinion. I think that's what it is, Edward. Very astute.
Yeah, and before I think we're running out of time, but before I go, here's another thing.
You got 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah, food for thought. I'm noticing very smart people in what we call FinTwit, financial Twitter, are starting to really look at this AI bubble and question some things. First of all, it's becoming apparent to most that there's no profit on the other side of this. These are commodity-like. Every AI engine is the same. You can switching costs from zero. So they're building commodity businesses that are going to have low returns. So there's going to be a big wipeout of a lot of the capital that was invested in this infrastructure. So the question is, why do they keep doing this if they know this? Is there and the administration seems to be rah-rah AI. Is this basically going to be the rush to do this without even the power to do it? Is the rush to create the surveillance system? Let's call AI what it's a surveillance system to get this in place before the collapse. Because
no, I agree. It's a surveillance control system. I agree. Its main primary mission is control of individuals, societies, and governments. They're rushing to get the straitjacket on us.
Right. And, the big tell for us will be when these companies start imploding and the credit markets revolt, because all cycles are cycles.
Will the U.S. government nationalize the infrastructure?
Yeah. And if they do that, that's it. It's over. Your planetary prison system comes to reality.
Well, let me tell you what I know from insiders. It's already nationalized. It's all being directed under emergency powers. Trump didn't even understand his emergency powers the first time. They didn't tell him. They fought against him. They were smart like you predicted a few years ago. They came in, kissed his ass, and said, here's the keys, and just kissed his ass, and now he's become one of them. By I guess, expediency, I mean, but I don't even know it's conscious, but that's where we are.
Yeah, and so, like, AI is just going to be a digital surveillance system with some ability to solve some problems on the side.
Exactly. It's really a surveillance control grid, social credit score, and you can get funny pictures and videos out of it.
Yeah. So, you know, look, the good news is a lot of people are waking up. The bad news is there's going to be a lot of chaos. And my recommendation for people is,
Edward, hold on. I'm going to twist your arm. Five more minutes and then Dark Journalist comes on the UFO disclosure top expert. People can follow you on X right now at Dowd Edward. Everybody should. One of the smartest people out there. Back in 2 minutes to finish up on this. We just call balls and strikes, folks. Stay with us. That's why you support us. That's why you share the feeds. Draft politicians for World War III, like Lindsey Graham and Ben Shapiro. Let's send them to the front lines. You can get this shirt and other incredible designs at thealexjonesstore.com, which also funds the new network, the Alex Jones Network, where you'll find my live feeds, the other great shows, special reports, investigative reports, and more at the new coordinates of liberty, alexjoneslive.com. And share that URL as well. You are the modern Paul Revere's. And then, of course, download on Android and Apple the free apps so you can watch the show and more and share it at alexjonesapp.com. Now, I'll see you on the front lines of the InfoWar.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.